Welcome to the replay of our live weekly career coaching session. I am Michael Sherlock, the founder and leader of the Enlightened Workplace Community, where employees and leaders embark on a transformative journey towards enlightenment. Throughout my career, I have made it my purpose to guide professionals who are committed to their career development. I've successfully led teams of over 500 employees at a time, so I know firsthand how a person can grow in their career. I continue to do this today in our dynamic and engaging community where we collectively learn and develop together. As you join us today, I want you to think about what our topic is today. Because as the, if you caught us for the intro song, you know that we were talking about how you look. How you look. It's also about how you sound. And I don't mean how you look physically, although you can have fun with that too. But it's not about just how you look physically. We're going to talk about how you look professionally. So as you know, our big topic of the whole year, in fact, you know, pretty much as we go through, is how are you achieving your professional goals? And what are you doing every day to ensure that they happen? I think I shared last week, I either shared with you guys or I shared on the conference that we did on Thursday, that January 12th, so what, 10 days ago, 11 days ago, is the day that most people give up on their New Year's resolutions every year, by the 12th of January. Well, here we are on the 23rd of January, and I'm not letting you give up on your professional goals. So we have people online here who are looking to get promoted. We have people looking for their next job. We have people looking to enhance their career, to get higher education, to make new business opportunities, to sell more, to start their own business, to do better in their own business. It doesn't matter what your goal is. The key is, are you working every day towards achieving it? And today we're going to talk about, well, first of all, we're going to talk a little bit about LinkedIn and the role that plays in your success. But I'm not just going to be giving like, here's top 10 tips on LinkedIn. We're going to talk about this from a strategic point of view. And I'm going to ask you very, very intensely to think about the questions that I'm going to raise and answering yourself very personally, very honestly, and saying, where can I make the slight improvements that will actually take me much, much further? Now, the question about how you're achieving your goals and how you show up on LinkedIn is, are you adorable? Or are you giving an image you're not quite sure what it is or how it's being taken? So as always, I like to start with a story. So because I'm visiting my mother, and tomorrow I'm actually going to get her on an airplane, take her cross country with me. She's going to come stay with me for a few weeks. And I didn't want to miss my workouts because you guys know I've been working on this really hard. And I work out 3 days a week at Orange Theory Fitness. So my favorite place to work out. So this is the first time that I ever went to a new gym. So I could use the gym here in my hometown of Spokane. So I went in and I was early because I wanted to make sure, see if they had me needed to do any other paperwork or anything. And I walked in and there was a gal in there chatting with one of the people who works there. And she started saying, this year has just started out really bad. I'm just so disappointed. Things that I thought were going to happen in my job are not going to happen. And the woman behind the desk said, well, let's call this gal Sally. I don't know what her name was, but she's like, Sally, what's going on? She says, well, my company was just bought out. And we found out last week. And when we found out that we were bought out, it changed everything. All of a sudden, I've gone from working for a very small company to a huge company. I never wanted that. I also was in line for a promotion, and now it's just not going to happen. And so she's talking and talking. The woman's like, oh my gosh, that's so sad. What's going on? Oh, I'm putting my resume out. And she gets going on this, kind of a woe is me. Now, if you guys have known me at all, you know I'm not very shy. So of course I have to insert myself into this conversation. And I'm like, hi, so can I just ask you a question? And I said, why do you think you're not going to get a promotion? Have you been told you weren't going to get a promotion? And she goes, well, no. I said, so did you get told that your job was in jeopardy, that you were going to lose your job? No. I said, do you know much about this company that just bought you? She said, no. And I said, so what makes you jump to the conclusion that it's going to be horrible, you're going to lose your job, or you will not get promoted and you're going to hate it? And she's looking at me like, who are you, old lady? And I said, well, this is kind of what I do for a living. So I'm just kind of curious, is there a different way for you to maybe look at this rather than immediately jumping? And we actually ended up having a nice little conversation. She might actually join us today. I told her I was going to tell the story. But I said, rather than making assumptions, and I'm not saying that those things won't happen. Look, I mean, I've been responsible for some major mergers in companies where I really did turn people's lives upside down. I was responsible for people not getting promotions that they thought they were going to get. I was responsible for people not having a job anymore or having their paychecks changed. I mean, I wasn't immediately personally responsible, but that was my job. And I had a lot of people that didn't like me in that process. That happens. But if you don't know for sure, why do you jump to that conclusion? And are you just moving and jumping to change? Or are you willing to take some time to reflect about what could be? And maybe that's not here in this company, but maybe it is what could be. Could you set yourself up as the emotional glue that could keep your small company held together and consistent and a positive factor during this merger? Could you show yourself the leader you want to be, even if right now the words that you've heard don't sound positive? How would you feel in that process? And could it change your mindset if you do decide to leave? Could it help you to make that next choice about something you really, truly want versus something you feel you must have? Now, why do I start this story off? Because again, like you guys always know about me, I insert myself into other people's conversations all the time, including some folks that I met on an airplane coming here the other day. Ended up talking to them about mergers in their companies. I don't know, that must be a theme for me right now. But I still think it comes down to attitude and focus. We can be disappointed when things happen to us that we don't like. We can be angry. We can be upset. We can be petulant. We can say, but I'm exactly what I want to be and who I want to be. And I can bury my flag in the sand next to me. Or I can ask myself, am I a malleable person? Can I adapt? Can I look at things and realize the opportunity for them? How can we continue to get better? And that's the same thing with our goals. We could be on January 12th and give up all of our New Year's resolutions. We could be on January 23rd and say, you know, my professional goal is X, and I said I'd be at Y by the end of January, and I'm not even close to it. In fact, I haven't even started it or made a dent in it, and I'm just going to give it up. Or. And the answer to the or is so big. There's so many potential ors. It could be, or I could adapt, or I could look at it differently, or I could recognize whether or not I'm being stubborn about something, or I could recognize that maybe I need some more accountability for somebody else who can help me, or I need to be more creative, or. I talk a lot about not having an either or mentality, but a both and. But I think the ors that we ask ourselves, if we're not saying I'm either or, but we're instead saying, can I look at different paths, different opportunities, different viewpoints? Can I have greater success? Now, last week, we talked about what is your definition of success. And I shared with you the story of two different people, one of them who processes paperwork in a nonprofit, who got a performance review that was meeting expectations, and she was very upset. Because she's like, I work so hard. I've always got my paperwork done. Nobody appreciates me. And I said, whoa, is there another way to look at this? Let's get back to your personal why for wanting a better evaluation, the business why for proving that you deserved it, and the altruistic why about why this makes a difference to anybody else but you. And then we talked about someone from a sales background and what she was achieving and what it meant to sell software and have these conversations and, you know, meeting, I'm selling all this stuff and I'm still just not getting what I want. But can you get back to the why? Why is this important to me personally or selfishly? Remember, I like to have us think about those selfish portions as well, because we have to acknowledge them. But we can't think of the selfish why without recognizing we will never achieve what we want to achieve if we don't align our goals to a business result and hopefully an altruistic result, something that actually has impact on people more than you and more than just the bottom line for the business. So when I was talking to two gentlemen on the airplane from Spokane, I got stuck in a middle seat. Love sitting in the middle seat. I hate sitting in the middle seat. Turns out I had a pharmacist on one side and I had a gentleman on the window seat who was in pharmaceutical sales. And by the time we were done, I think the whole 3-hour flight, we just talked nonstop. I know that's very surprising that you think that, you know, I might talk too much. But one of them was talking about working in corporate. The other was talking about the differences going on with his company. But the bottom line is they kept saying, you know, it's only about this business trying to make more money. Why do we have jobs? Or do we pay people for jobs that achieve business results? But why do we jump to the conclusion that those business results then have some big, bad money-grubbing reason? Does the person who started that business, did they really go into that to just grab money? Or did things change over time? Are there more responsibilities for the more people that you hire? Are there more responsibilities to shareholders if you become a public company? When we don't recognize the impact of all those other things, we put ourselves in a box. And so therefore, then we fight against what we're trying to achieve to get towards our goals. So what does this all have to do with LinkedIn? And what does it all have to do with the Meghan Trainor song about I Made You Look? It has to do with the image that we are putting out there in the world in a professional setting, whether it's on LinkedIn, it's in a business meeting, it's in a job interview, it's in a sales conversation. It's about whether or not you control how you are seen, how you are viewed, and how people respond to you. Quiz number one, if you went to your LinkedIn profile right now, first of all, hopefully you have one. If you don't, that's another topic, and you make sure to connect with Josie because we're going to have some training for anybody who doesn't have a LinkedIn profile. We'll have that kind of be a something part of the virtual water cooler. But if you don't have one, that's the other step. But if you do have a LinkedIn profile, does it portray the image that you want it to portray? And the answer is absolutely yes. I have no idea. Or no, because I haven't looked at it in 3 years. I'm certain there's other answers to that. But if you first of all say yes, absolutely, I'm still going to challenge you a little further. Because your goal that all of you set out for yourselves this year, because I asked everybody to come up with at least one big professional goal, depends on what you do in these public spaces. We're going to use LinkedIn as a motto and a model for how you show up in every other aspect of your professional life. So I'm going to ask you, first of all, to have a suspension of disbelief for a moment. And the suspension of disbelief is the ideal that the only thing we're going to accomplish this year is our one major goal, because that's just ridiculous. We all set one that was most important to us. I told you that my big, big goal by the end of this year is to have my third business book out called Operation Fred. There's a Fred under the bed. What a Street Cat Taught Me About Leadership Lessons. And I want it to be a bestseller. So the steps between here and there are many. But guess what? I also have to run a business. And in that business, I have a podcast, I have speaking engagements, I have administrative things, I have marketing things, I have people to pay, I have performance reviews to do, I have new contracts to do, I have all thousands and thousands of details. So how do you balance these elements? So I'm going to just make one quick side note to what we've covered the last couple of weeks about making your weekly focus and say, step one of achieving your big business goal is also to recognize it has to work in alignment with all those other goals. So it's like having a category for everything that's important in your job. But we have all these pieces. Can we keep track of them? And are we using these in alignment to what we want to achieve? So that's just a little aside to help us remember that achieving the big goal can't be at the expense of all the other things. To find out how to do all those other things, You have to do what Josie and I were talking about, not see success or failure, but to see opportunities for growth and adaptation. If you don't like what you find out about yourself, see it as a wake-up call that's awareness and be thankful for that. If you don't like what you see about somebody else that works with you or for you, see that as an awareness point for how you may operate with them differently, how you may try and communicate with them better, how you may motivate them, be there with them, kick them in the butt. But let's have awareness. So what we're going to talk about, though, is one little component that will make or break your opportunity in your business facade. And we're going to start with what you look like on LinkedIn. So I'm going to give you a couple pointers here, and there's going to be a lot. I would suggest if you don't have a LinkedIn profile that meets all the criteria that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, that you're making yourself notes. And then when we have the replay, we will also have a recap of what these things are. So number one is, do you have a picture of yourself that conveys the message that you want to convey? Now, why do I have this with me with Shock Your Potential on my arms? It's because it's a cool picture. It talks about the brand, even though we're starting to shift our brand image from Shock Your Potential to the Enlightened Workplace this year. But it gives a good you know, picture of who I am. I'm a little crazy. I got colorful hair. I look a little fun. I'm not too serious, but serious enough. But here's the thing. You might not think this is all that important. But we also know that the first image that we get of somebody is how they look in a photo or the first time we see them in person. And that conveys a message. If you on your LinkedIn profile don't have one thing done, here's your sneaky little tip of the day. No one will even get the chance to see who you are until you connect. So if you go into your profile and you go your public profile and URL. So I'm on my LinkedIn profile here. So this is my homepage for this. And I go to edit. So if you scroll down on the right-hand side, edit content, edit visibility, you want your profile's public visibility to be on, and you want your profile photo to be public. I learned this the hard way after I had 10,000 followers, that only my first degree connections were actually seeing my photo. But you want to make sure that your photo can be seen when you are interacting with people, and making it public allows them to see you the way you want to be seen. Now, how do you want to be seen? Do you want to have a professional picture? Yes. Could it be a little fun and different? Yes. Do you want to have your cap and gown on there if you have an MBA? Maybe, if that's important to you. But what we're trying to achieve here in our profiles is a sense of what kind of professional person are you? Depending on if you're in job hunt mode or if you're in sales mode, all those things are going to change them. But you want to ensure that you are visible to people so they can see you. We live in a very visual culture, and this is one way we are known. A couple other things you'll see right off the bat is you will see that I have a banner here for me. It matches our business. I think we'll be changing those as we change branding. But if you go to any of the team members on my company, we all have a Shock Your Potential banner that has a different word in it that was important to us last year. These banners allow you to also talk about who you are. It's going to look different if you're in job search mode. It's going to be different if you're in a sales mode. But that banner is also telling a story. Next thing I want to tell you, though, before we dive into a little bit more of what other things you are telling, is if you don't have at least 501 connections, 501 is the magic number. 501 means you take LinkedIn seriously. If you don't have 501, then one of my high recommendations to you is you work to make good connections. Now, I have a lot of people say, well, gosh, I don't know who these people are that want to connect with me. Well, unless they're really creepy people and you're not sure if they're real people, go ahead and accept their connections. You can always delete them later. But the more people you have, the more you are connected. Connections mean more than just a number, though. So that number, for anybody who is looking to hire you, They are looking to do business with you. They're looking to see if you're a reputable company. They are seeing whether or not you mean business on LinkedIn. And LinkedIn means that you are spending time cultivating connections, hopefully that are really valid. You can have up to 30,000 connections. After that, you can only have followers. So my goal is 30,000 connections. I haven't gotten there yet. About almost 19. But these are really important elements to say whether or not you mean business. Now, those are things, though, that are superficial. That's like showing up in the right outfit for a job interview. That's about dressing appropriately for whatever meeting you're going into. Those are just some of the pretties, the things that make us prettier. But what really tells the story? How many of you spend time on LinkedIn every day or every few days or once a week and are liking posts that you see? It's great to get on there and spend time liking things. But if you only like posts and you don't make thoughtful comments, it tells somebody else that what you do is you scroll through social media. Let me just let that sit for just a second. Let me just let that sit with you for a second. When I'm looking at doing business with somebody, so let's say Josie wants to do business with me. And I'm like, I don't know who this Josie is. I want to check her out. I want to know if she's legit. I'm going to go here and I'm going to say, well, there's a nice picture of her. She looks very friendly. She looks nice, very professional picture. She looks like she spent a lot of time posing like that. She's doing the thinker pose. She's got a lovely little banner behind there. She's got 501 plus connections. I don't know how many yet, but she's got a lot. I see that 204 connections are mutual. So we know some of the same people. I can come down to activity. I can see that she has 610 followers. So Josie takes business seriously. But what I want to see is things like this, where Josie commented on a post. Josie commented on a post. Josie commented on a post. If I hit show all comments, when I look at somebody, I want to see what their posts are and what their comments are. And if I'm looking at all their activity and all I see is Josie liked this, Josie liked this, Josie liked this, Josie liked this, then all I know is Josie probably spends time during the day scrolling on LinkedIn going, oh, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that, instead of learning what Josie finds important. So the first thing that pops up is Josie commented on this. Alicia Hemphill, she's the Assistant Director, Division of Infection Control and Plastics and Recoveries, is starting a new position. And Josie says, congrats, Alicia, all the best in your new position and endeavors. I'm like, oh, well, that's nice. Josie cares about people. Then I can read things like, oh, Josie commented about the something that we had last fall. Oh, she's excited about elevating herself further on day 5 challenge. I learn about Josie. I learn whether or not Josie is actually stopping to read things and has something important to share. So if I'm looking at somebody new to do business with, let's say I'm a salesperson and I'm looking at somebody that I want to connect with. If I just like all their stuff, well, that's nice. It might make them feel good. They might wonder who this Michael Sherlock is that likes all their stuff. But they don't know anything about me. They don't know what I do like about what they wrote. They don't know why it was important to me enough to click the like button or the thumbs up button or the brilliant idea. So tell them. And you don't have to do this with 100 people a day. But if you want to tell your story, that is your opportunity in a professional setting to play and practice and also give a track record of what you believe in. So if Juliana is looking at somebody maybe to join our community here and she's connecting with somebody in a company and she says, look, this HR person, this HR director will be I think we should get to know them. They're doing a lot of great things in their company. Then if Juliana just likes their posts, well, that might be getting her some notice, but if she instead comments on a post where that HR director said, you know, we are celebrating Employee Appreciation Month and we're going to highlight John Smith because he is an exemplary employee, Juliana has the opportunity to say, Josie, what a beautiful way to recognize your team. It shows me that you and your company are dedicated to what's important. You're dedicated to recognizing the individual achievements of your team. I love seeing people like you. Now, all of a sudden, Josie, that HR director, might say, who's this Juliana that comes out of the blue? Wow, she really does care about what we're doing. Maybe I will check out what she's doing. I'm going to stop here in just a minute before I make this one correlation with this. Is if you are in a job search mode, for instance, you can either become a stalker or you can become someone who interacts. And you can stalk somebody to try and figure out, is this the job I want? Is this the company I want? Do I want to know these people? Or you can actually connect with them on a human level, even on something that feels sometimes non-human, like a social media platform like LinkedIn, and say, hey, I'd just be interested in being connected, John. I saw that you guys had an opening at your company. I've enjoyed reading your posts about what you love, about what you do. I'd like to be connected. You don't have to make it a sales pitch. You don't have to make it a, could we talk? We don't have to make it a, would you like to look at my resume? We just can use it as an opportunity to be human to human in an environment where humanity is sometimes pulled out. How does this all relate to your big 2024 goal? How could you use LinkedIn maybe you tell me you can't, but probably everybody with what their big 2024 goal is could use it in some way. How can you make use of your LinkedIn presence to help you make connections that are meaningful? Make sure people know what you stand for. Help promote the visibility of your company and your job. Heck, maybe you're using LinkedIn to say, hey, LinkedIn connections, I've decided that I want to put my big 2024 goal out there and to show my excitement to achieve it, but my nervousness about whether I can. And I want to use you guys as my accountability to get there. Can we do something that is truly about us? The messages you send there tell a story. Are you using them effectively to tell your story and achieve your goal?
Thank you for completing the session today. Your journey doesn't end here. Make sure to supplement what you learned today by completing the suggested assignments that will contribute to your ongoing growth and progress. While many individuals aspire to develop their careers, not everyone is willing to make the necessary commitment and maintain consistency in their development. It's important to remember that true progress and advancement requires dedication. If you have any questions or feedback, please post it on the virtual water cooler. And in case you missed any of our previous sessions, don't worry. Gold and Platinum members access them on our training platform anytime. If you aren't yet a Gold or Platinum member, click on the upgrade link to learn more. But for now, we'll see you in our next live session.